Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, we are back for the second part of our Season 1 Q&A. And myself and Naomi are going to answer the rest of the questions that were there, and we are still currently in the process of writing Season 2, so it shouldn't be too long now before you get an update. But yeah, just wanted to let you know where we were, and enjoy. Thanks very much. There was one question here by Moth. What do you think would be the most challenging and the most fun part about making Season 2? So I'll specify about Season 1 first. So the kind of challenging parts for the writing was the narration. There's not that many shows out there that they either have a narrator or they have a full cast. They don't have both.
I wrote way too many characters.
Yeah.
If we were doing this again, we wouldn't do that. It's very expensive.
So trying to find that balance as well, because obviously we knew Alistair was going to be revealed at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So it's having him as a character, but not a character, and just making sure those parts fit.
Yeah. And I think in Season 2, it's going to be balancing, again, the narrator and character experience. So if you have the scripts, you'll notice that in Season 1, Alistair doesn't narrate if Lockie's not there, which was like quite a tricky choice to maintain. But I think it really puts the focus on Lockie, I think.
Yeah. Those aspects were kind of difficult to manage in that sense of we don't want it to be in your face. We wanted people to feel, because it was like one of the first secrets that people kind of understood. It was a gimme in that sense. Here's one of the secrets that you're allowed to have at this point. So it was like, we understand that was going to be a given, that people would make that connection, but we still wanted to make it interesting. If we went down the other end of making it too subtle, it wouldn't have felt fair. Yeah, it wouldn't have felt fair, and it would have been a little bit blindsided. So we wanted to make sure that balance was there. So, you know, it's meant to be the gap between the audience and the characters. So it's like he's talking directly to you and giving you little hints and pieces. And you hopefully notice that as well, of that balance that we were trying to find. One thing you might also find as well is that the language increases more and more. It starts off quite simple, and then by the get to the end, we're getting multi-page monologues from Alistair describing things in very articulate detail, which I love. That's my kind of favorite part of that, Alistair going into horrible detail.
Yeah, I think the thing is that the way that I always feel about writing really terrible or really intense or really emotional things is the bigger the emotion, the smaller the detail. So it's really hard to take on the enormity of like seeing a dead body of someone you know, but like the point where you lay it down to, you know, the dirt under their fingernails, or you know, the fact that their hair is now sitting wrong, like all of those like little details, they make it not too enormous to understand, because you already understand that the thing has happened, but it allows you to focus on just manageable details. And so I think Alistair's job is to turn enormous things into manageable details, you know,
not just for the audience but for Lockie as well.
Yeah.
To try and make him, you know, live with the things that he's done. Even though Lockie is the protagonist, if you look at what happened prior to the show and his time on the island as well, there's a lot of things that he's done that are not good things.
I think in a lot of ways for me, it's about, I think Lockie, what Lockie wants more than anything else is to be forgiven, you know, and by the end of it, he's done something unforgivable. And how do you deal with that?
Yeah. And that's going to be the challenge in season two.
And three.
Well, we've seen how he reacted after Preston.
Yeah.
He didn't get time to really grieve.
Yeah.
It's not something he wanted to do.
It was also a necessity.
Obviously, he didn't want to kill Preston, but, you know, it's happened.
Yeah.
Now he's done much worse. You know, not only has he killed a child, but he's purposely murdered someone.
So yeah, fun things to deal with in season two. For those of us who knew the whole story and where it was going, was it difficult to keep it all secret, especially with Discord was theorizing about what was going to happen? We have our own like cast Discord because that's how we like scheduled all the recordings and things. And the messages, as soon as people were like hitting close to things or like near things, or people had really good ideas, we were like, we would screenshot and be like, has this people seen this? Have people seen this? We're equally obsessed, like maybe more obsessed than y'all are. We see the shit that you post and all the good posts. We have a thing, channel in the Discord just for like the nice stuff that you guys make that all goes in there. So we can all be like, hey, or like, no, oh no.
Yeah. And we've got the memes as well. I'd say Shogo hogs that channel.
Unspeakable memes. Create unspeakable memes. It was really hard to be like, oh, I love Harry. And we're just like,
yeah. Hope nothing bad happens to him.
Everyone's like, ugh, if Harry dies, I would have been so mad. And I was like, spaghetti-o. Yeah, I think it got to the point where we were like, it was more, we felt so bad.
I was surprised that people thought it was going to be Amy. Like, that was not something that
we didn't
came to mind.
Yeah, no, we were not clever enough for that. So, lads, we were like, oh. You think this? Okay, well, let's just make sure that's nice and ambivalent. I think everybody knew that something was going to have to happen. Obviously, it was all written before we saw you guys. And I think basically all the beats for season two and three were like already written. So anything you guys say is not making like, we're not making changes in response to your theories, because I think that would, it would kind of be unfair to the story and it'd be unfair to you guys. You know,
yeah.
Like we already know what's happening to the characters that you're worried about and things. And we already know where people are ending up and what they're doing and what their intentions are. So
yeah, it was that way with, you know, it would have been nice to have more of Matthias, but
so the thing about me is, because I don't know if this is because I come from New Zealand, but I'm quite anti like the idea that people are like really cool. So I knew nothing, and I'd never done anything about Roger. No idea. Didn't know anything about Ben. Never heard of him. Alistair, same deal. Alan, exactly the same. I was just like, these are just some guys. So when I wrote it, like there was no like beholding to any particular actor or any of their like status or like, or people's following. Like that was just never, and probably will never be like a consideration, you know? It was just like, no, but this is what needs to happen for the story, because we spend so much time being mad at Matthias that he would get in the way at the end. Lockie's worst villain needs to be like himself.
I did see as well the theories of people going, well, if we go back to the first scene of episode one, Matthias isn't in it.
I mean, you say that, but then Andromeda's in that scene and she's not technically.
Yeah. Don't have anyone noticed that change.
Yeah. I think it like, this is fiction and there's going to be some misconceptions and changes and things, because, you know, it's a story and it's the story of what we perceive. And there's no interest in like making everything strictly logical, but also no fun.
Yeah, and it's the fact that, you know, we've only scratched the surface on the supernatural aspects.
Yes. Who would win in a fight, we marry or Lockie? I think it would depend. Like, if it was hand-to-hand, I feel like Lockie would have the upper hand because he's quite a buff. Like, I think he's just a thick, solid dude, you know? But if there was access to any tools, or like if it wasn't like literally in a dirt square, I think we married one, because
yeah, like Batman v Superman, really, isn't it?
Yeah. If she's got any tools, she's like, we married's quite. She's got like a lot of she's got a lot of skills. Lockie or Andromeda, full strength. Andromeda. She's just so much cooler than Lockie. Like obviously this season she was quite hampered, but Andromeda is one of my favorite characters, and I think she's badass. So I'm just ready for her to be out and be badass. As far as the Massive Mary question, this is one of those things where I was like, it's going to be so funny, like three seasons in, to be like, and here is huge Mary. But now everybody's guessed it, so now I've got to wait till you all forget about it before I can put it in.
Erica was so excited as well.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned that at the table reads.
Yeah.
Where's Big Mary?
And I was like, don't you worry. Don't you worry, baby. Right, fucking Mary. Huge, Mary.
Climbing out of the gap.
Climbing out of the ocean like...
What's happening?
Yeah, Big Mary's going to be played by Mick, so...
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I can do that. Big Batson. I mean, I didn't get the original Wee Mary part.
Mick did audition for Wee Mary and thought they wouldn't notice that it was just him. He like pitch shifted and everything, but I was like, bro, that's you. I'm not. That is you. He was like, no,
it's not.
No, I'm like, that's your one Scottish accent.
The reason for it is that, you know, because we specifically said Wee Mary is to be Scottish, we didn't get as many auditions in for that part.
Yeah, and we did get some auditions from people who were not prepared to do a Scottish accent. In the table reading, sometimes when someone's off, it would be me and Mick covering. Not very good. I did an okay Harry. I covered Harry because we didn't have him in the table reads for obvious reasons.
I had to do Sasha and a couple of the elders at times.
Yeah, I had to do Angelique once or twice, which I was not very good at.
Who did I do really badly? There was one I did and I was just like, this is awful and I hate myself for it. I had to do Preston, that's who it was.
That's right.
Preston. I had to do an American accent. And it was fucking awful.
It was just being like watching Mick doing the lines and be like, oh, he's not having a good time.
Well, the thing is, we're doing it on video chat with actual actors.
Yeah, that is the worst bit of being going, like, I'm so sorry.
At least I got into it, though. At least I put a bit of a performance on rather than just reading the lines straight.
Yeah, I was not going to do a Scottish accent. Like, there was one point they're like, do you want to do Mary? And I was like, I'm not going to do the accent because...
You can't do one.
How dare you? I'm definitely not doing it in front of people who are actually Scottish, like Alan, because it would be offensive. My Scottish accent's okay. You know, I have lived with it for half my life, but it's as good as yours.
When did you have a Scottish accent?
My mum's got a Scottish accent, is what I mean. My mum used to do Toast to the Lassies, which is like the part of the Burns Night where they do a Toast to the Lassies where the men are like, and here's things about women. It's all very hetero sort of gender.
Yeah.
Thing. And then they do a reply to the Toast of the Lassies. And my mum is well known for making the worst Freudian slip midway through. She writes things down, but then she improvises. And let me tell you, it's not someone who should improv. Stick to the script.
Do you write a lot of things down and just improv it?
I feel like this has become a very hostile environment. It's a hostile work environment.
I'm pretty sure that's how you do your RPGs. Is it not?
Oh, no, when it comes to RPGs, I don't write anything down. I just improv the whole thing. The thing is a lot of my abilities that come to the bit where it's like, this would be funny. This would be cool. Fuck it. I was actually playing sessions all weekend. And you know what my character was?
One.
Monty. Specifically, Three Card Monty. And he was just a guy who played Three Card Monty. And that was enough to get me through like 2 days. Yeah. And people were like, wow, what a great character. I'm like, it's really...
Were you tired?
Like, oh, God.
Yeah,
you got home and I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Fucking
what I really like with you, Naomi, is that your presence in the audio fiction world since before and after this show.
Yeah. So this is the real tea about making a popular show is half of it's networking. Networking is horrible. Like, I'm good at it, but I fucking hate doing it. I hate doing it with a passion. Every time I'm like, ugh, they complain the whole time. I get there and I'm like, wow, it's so great. And they do a lot of handshaking. And also, the other thing is to just be really presumptuous. I think that's probably the thing that I'm quite good at.
What do you mean, presumptuous?
For the game that I was playing this weekend, I was like, oh, I run an RPG podcast. And I was like, sick. So when are you going to invite me to play? When are you going to give me a guest spot? And he was like, I guess I'll give you a get. I'm like, you know, I met Beth Eyre from Wooden Overcoats. And I was like, we're friends now. We're going to go for coffee. And she was like, we're friends now. We're going to go for coffee. But only because I was like, I'm not, like, there's no time for subtlety. It's a pandemic. There's networking. We could all like play around and be like, oh, it's nice to meet you. Blah, 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 blah. We'll see you in 6 months. No, I'm not doing it. I'm like, these are my intentions. And I'm not.
You're my friends now.
You're my friends now. And that, so far, has worked really well. It's worked really well for me, I'm not going to lie.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
Yeah, and we only got like, I got invited to a panel just because I was like, what up, Ella? How's it going? You know, and I didn't know Ella Watts very well before then. And now we're messaging back and forth all the time, you know, I think just because I'm quite presumptuous. Beth is really lovely. We went for brunch and it was great.
I am thankful for you, Naomi, of having these networking buddies. One, that you're in New London. So
yeah, it does make it a lot easier. It means the networking falls to me by default, which is...
I don't mind networking. I'm good at it in parts, but...
You're a lot more professional about it, though.
Well, yeah, I'd say professional. You're very laid back, but we can do networking together.
Yeah, my job is to get the initial handshake to be like, hey, we're really cool. Come do this thing with us. And then like, and now Mick will tell you the details. And your job is to be like, and now here's the actual proposition.
I'm a lot more introverted as well, in that sense of I want to understand what the relationships are. I'm going to put my director hat on as well, have these people like me and understand me.
I'm just like, you will like me. I'm so sorry, but it's not optional.
I like you. You're pretty good.
Oh, I like you too. Thanks, bud.
Do we have any other questions?
Yeah, I mean, there's always questions. If you could assign each T-Sauce character favorite song, what song would you choose for them? I always thought that Lockie would... So this is a long point of contention. It's a really, really wanted Tell Me Lies, Tell Me Sweet Little Lies for Lockie and Esther. But obviously, it turns out it's really expensive to get really famous songs in your show. It's like hella expensive.
Oh, it's stupid expensive, yeah.
Even if they just said the words, we would have to pay so many dollars. Like, they wouldn't even be allowed to sing it. Or a cover or anything.
Yeah, you can't even whistle the tune.
Can't even whistle the tune. There's that bit where Lockie's like dancing up the stairs after being kissed by Niathi. And we were like, yeah, he'll whistle a song. And then it was like, we can't do that legal. I think I would also give him You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
What about Matthias? What did you have them?
I feel like Matthias is like Teardrops on My Guitar by Taylor Swift. Like, I feel like he's at that level. I feel like Matthias has a real like girl pop vibe
him.
Yeah, I don't think he would want to have a girl pop vibe. I'm just checking because we all made like playlists.
Yeah.
I feel like Secret Fear by Daniel Bedingfield was quite high on mine.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've heard that one.
I have a secret fear that I will love you still, maybe all my life. You know, like, Jesus. It's very, yeah. You belong with me, yeah. Yeah. It is very much like, hetero pop. I had The Crazy by... the Danielle and Drade version, which is from it's the show, and there's the children, and they have superpowers.
The Superpower Children show. I've heard of that.
Yeah, thank you. Had a really good soundtrack. 5 is a little boy, and he loves coffee and also murder.
I'd say Blackbird by the Beatles for Harry.
Oh, yeah, that's lovely. And also, you're a gremlin. Umbrella Academy. Oh, thank God. Yeah. Fuck yeah. So Umbrella Academy had some really sick tracks, and I felt like a lot of those kind of resonated with Niathi. I also had Here You Come Again by Dolly Parton for Niathi. You know, like, I think she's, like, when she's happy, she's got really good, like, fun vibes. Just when she's not happy, that she's quite hard to deal with. Andromeda's, I have a 100% Andromeda song, which kind of leads to the sound design, which is whenever you're at Andromeda's house, you always hear birds. like that there's always birds out around. And the song is a cuckoo song by Cosmo Sheldrake. And it's like, it's a song that preserves bird sounds of birds that are endangered, so that there will always be like a record. He did this whole album. It's kind of insane. One day I'll have him write a song for Andromeda.
Do you like the Beatles, don't I?
You don't have a choice. Me and John
popped the shops the other day. It was lovely. You nicked a can of Coke.
It's so weird hearing you do that, because like it's some of the vowels are definitely there, and some of the vowels are like definitely in Scotland.
Name one of them. Go on, do it.
Yeah,
name one of them.
How was the lore of St. Kilda developed, and is any basis in real world lore? Quick, do songs before I move on. I did my bit. Oh, Angelica's absolutely Does Your Mother Know from the Mamma Mia soundtrack. That is like, that is my favorite Mamma Mia song, and therefore it's also Angelique's favorite Mamma Mia song.
I learn a lot about you on these things, you know that?
Yeah, I feel like we talk about lots of stuff that we don't usually talk about. I also think that like when you write characters, you always give them like little bits of yourself. You know, like there's definitely like, I think actually the best way to write a villain that you really hate is the things about yourself that you're worried about. Just like dial those up to like 5,000. Easy peasy. I think there's nothing more cringe than being in love with somebody who doesn't love you back. You know, like I've definitely been that teenager of being like, but only if they'd like me. And you're like, no. And that is why Matthias is so bad, because I'm like, that is honestly the worst thing. So cringe.
I genuinely love cringe.
See, like, I'm the opposite. I can't.
Oh no, it's one of my favorite things.
I know, you're a terrible person. You're so, so, so mean with making people cringe.
Yeah, just sitting there watching someone be awkward for a minute. It's beautiful.
So I can't watch any body swap movies. I don't. It's my least favorite kind of movies, like Freaky Friday, 13 really? Going on 30, whatever. I just, the whole point of a body swap movie is that all the humor relies on the cringe of people doing awkward things.
Oh, okay.
And I just... Yeah,
I just think the shit. That's my problem.
I mean, there's like, what's the one with... There's someone like Danny DeVito in it that's supposed to be really good, but I just, twins. I can't, thank you.
I don't know what it is, Twins.
I think it is. I think Twins is the one I was thinking of, but that's not even a body swap, but it is cringe.
Yeah.
And I can't do cringe humor. I find it so hard to just be like, oh God, it's the empathy thing. It's like, oh, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed just by being here.
No, just turn it up a notch for me.
No.
Just like, go on, make it worse. Make it worse. Please.
No, I hate that.
If it's not happening to me, if it's happened to me, I'd die. But secondhand cringe is fine.
I can't even deal with it secondhand. It's too relatable. I'm too cringe. I'm too cringe to not feel relatable or related to someone else's cringe. What was I going to say about Lore of St. Kilda? The gap is real. That's on the map. The Scottish National Library has a really good like map of St. Kilda that you can look at for free, or you can get like a really high quality version for like £12. That has like all these little cool things. The Mistress Stone is real. Roval is real. Like, I tried not to know, again, like trying not to get too hung up on the technicalities of reality, so I wasn't feeling like bound by it. You know, we're making our own world. We're making our own reality. But there is definitely like bits of it that I have carried over.
Yeah, there's little bits. I think Chloe would know how much has been carried over as well.
Yeah, as the one doing almost all of the research.
Which we didn't ask to do.
We'd ask them to do anything, but they're just better than us.
They're just so good. They're so good. But it was really nice knowing extra little things, because the tweets and things that they'd put out, the Instagram posts, it's really nice going, is it? Is that what happened? That's interesting. Didn't know that.
The thing is about St. Kilda is it's wild, like from top to tail, like the whole place is just like, what? And it's what now? Like it's a good place to set something. But it is utterly insane. We love you, Chloe. Every time we get a message from Chloe, me and Mick are just like, just Chloe's so great.
So good. She's so good.
Me and Shogo, and so I told Shogo this idea that I've had for a podcast for a very long time, which is reviewing erotic literature, because I once went on holiday and I finished all my books and there was nothing else to read, so I went into one of those little shops where they're like, here's a book for €1, and you're like, what is this? And they're like, it's very bad. And I think that those like, I just love really bad media. And I think that the way that people perceive relationships, especially in like a Mills and Boone book, is like, none of these people are nice. All these people are terrible. There's no situation where I, as a person with like a stable home life, would think, yeah, this is it. This is the man I want to be with. And obviously, you know, it's not a hetero, like maybe that adds an extra layer. But like, sometimes I look at them and I'm like, the bit we're in with Angelique and We Marry, looking at a book in that is like 100% like the way that I feel about it. It's like, that's not even physically possible. I don't think that you know how those bits work or anything, you know?
Doesn't matter, does it?
No. Doesn't matter. It's just, it's all about vibes. But Shogo is determined to come along and read the excerpts for us in his best Shogo voice. Yeah. Yeah.
That is a voice, though.
Right? Like, it's a voice. Yeah. It's a voice. So, yeah.
So many things Shogo sent to us that don't even make it to the feed. And it's just for us. We're like, Shogo, can you record this thing for us? He's like, yeah. Is it for the show? You're like, yeah.
Sure.
No, fine. It's just for us to listen to.
We actually take requests. We're running a Shogo cameo where Shogo will say the filthiest thing you can think of. He doesn't like get paid, but we do.
The coffee for us.
Yeah. The worst thing about that is Shogo would do it without a second thought. He'd be like, yeah, fuck off. You know, like, I love Shogo, but he does like just like the most unhinged shit. I've got the Twitter URL Mills and Boobs.
You've got it.
Yeah, I've got it. So you know.
When did you nab that? After talking to Shogo.
Yeah, it was after my flatwarming, because he was like, no, we'll do it. And I was like, but we need a name. And he was like, Mills and Boobs. And I was like, you know what? It's not going to get better than that. So
it was available.
Yeah. Yeah. Wildly. I was like, Jesus Christ. If anyone takes millsandboobs.com, I will come to your house. That is mine. Yeah. It's the thing of like, it would be a great idea, but you know, my parents are already so disappointed in me.
Why do you start reviewing the smut?
Yeah.
And it's going to be straight smut as well, isn't
it? It would be straight smut. Yeah, it would be really like...
But you said you hate cringe, and that sounds very cringy.
I think...
Reviewing awful books.
Yeah, but it's not awkward because nobody's treating it as cringe. Like, it's being cringe and everyone knowing it's cringe. The self-awareness. Okay. Something with no self-awareness is like, that's good shit.
You love watching shit movies as well, don't you?
I do. I like love
proper shit movies.
I love a proper shit movie.
Are we going to have a shit movie night on Discord one night?
We should. I have a copy of Velocipasta, which is a phenomenal shit movie. Also Zombievers. Zombievers exceedingly good, but just a very, very bad movie. I love a terrible movie that's just doing its best. Lamageddon. I've not seen Lamageddon, but yeah, I will be putting that bad boy in the list. You know what's a great movie? Anything with the Addams Family. I also think those are great. The baby has a moustache. Exceedingly good. In the second one, Addams Family Values. So for last Halloween, I went as Gomez. My friend Henry was supposed to come as Morticia and came as Luigi. So I was just there like, I was like,
classic.
Thanks, bro. This couple's costume is great.
Ooh. Surprise.
Yeah. I mean, we've got plenty of space. I'm not going to lie. It's also got the guy from the crime show where he solves problems with maths when he's a child. Numbers. There we go. Oh. Sorry, guys. My memory for names is really bad.
We haven't watched the same TV shows, have we?
No. But you were busy watching Lost, so there's no hope for you. It's too late.
Listen, I think me watching Lost is very, very important to this show. Because it's set on an island and you'll write a storyline and I'm like, that's Lost. You can't do that. People are already making similarities. We don't have to do that storyline. We can change it in these ways.
No, I'm not into it. He really wanted the actor from Lost. Like,
I really did. I want Desmond to be in season 2. That is my goal. You know, I asked him, right?
Did you?
Yeah.
Does he follow you back?
No, I asked him like emailed his personal email address.
Maybe one day I'll ask Sam Neill to do a bit part and I'll be fine.
Well, that's your most famous follower.
Most famous follower, yeah, on Twitter.
My most famous follower is on Instagram, and it's a wrestler called Billy Ass. He's the ass man.
On some level, aren't we all an ass man?
But he is the ass.
He is the ass man. Okay, yeah, that's fair. I have no idea why Sam Neill follows me, other than the fact that I'm in New Zealand. Actually, you know, I back before I really used Twitter, I once had a famous tweet on New Zealand TV at the Hobbit premiere, and I got quite a lot of followers from that one. So, yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Did you follow Sam? You didn't follow Sam Neill, did you? He just followed you.
I don't know, actually. I might have. So I had a partner who was really into Jurassic Park. I want to emphasize, like, a lot of people like Jurassic Park. No, this person was like, Jurassic Park was, I watched so much Jurassic Park. We played all of Lego Jurassic Park, the video game. Yeah.
You know, we've been doing this for 2 hours.
Yeah, I can feel Q&As. I can feel us, like, we've kind of hit the end of the actual questions. Yeah, we're now just fucking now. About.
Yeah. This usually happens with me and Naomi, is that we will talk for like 2 hours about work, and then it will be us just having a ridiculous laugh at about 3 more hours, and they're like, right, fuck off, is how Naomi usually ends that conversation. Yeah, and I'm like, good night, and she's already away.
Say what I mean what I say. I'm not expecting anybody to guess things on subtext. I'm just going to tell people.
It's good. I prefer it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it makes things a lot simpler. It's not for everybody, but it definitely works for me.
It's been emotional. Right, we'll stop now then, Nate.
Yeah. We love you all. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much, everyone. We'll see you next time.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
17.9 cycles ago, us machines defeated the humans. Now, we're living the good life here in Droidston, Manitoba.
Morning, Gif!
Morning, Gus!
But there's still the problem of human infestation. That's what it's time to call Human Be Gone. Human Be Gone! Experts in ethical human relocation. This job has everything. Danger.
Whoa, sounds like we got some dingers in there.
Excitement.
Incoming.
And drama.
You're the one who leaked herself in my basmati rice bed.
It's a dirty job, but some bots gotta do it.
Oh.
Human Be Gone. Coming soon wherever you get your podcasts. Human.